Hi everybody, the Complex PTSD guy here. I'll start out by saying I'm not a doctor or psychiatrist. I'm just a guy living with complex PTSD, and I'm sharing my own ideas, experiences, and opinions on this podcast. I wanted to add another thing really quick to some of the topics I've recently discussed, and one of them was if somebody, or if you feel like you are somebody who's always neutral, and you don't really sometimes stand up for yourself, or maybe you don't really take a side, and you tend to say that you want to be like a peacekeeper type person, always keep the peace and all that. I wanted to point out another thing that relates to what I was recently discussing in regards to like a catch-22 thing. If you feel like you're always in a catch-22, for me, I had two big instances that were like that, where I felt like I was going in emotional circles, like in my own head at the time. And then I had a bodily reaction to it. Like I had a physical reaction to feeling stuck because these were big decisions or big events happening, right? And I think that that can be similar to, and I meant to mention this in the last episode, but I think it can be very similar to if you tend to be neutral and maybe you are called a fence rider, or someone might use the term Switzerland, where you stay neutral. You can use that same tactic I mentioned in the last episode. So I think it's the same as a catch-22. It's for people with PTSD or complex PTSD, again, your brain, your physical brain is limiting your options because it's saying fight or flight, and it's shutting out all the other avenues of possibilities, perspectives of ways of looking at things and solving a problem, of finding a resolution. And this is a big part of like relationships. It's a big part of the interpersonal dialogue, conflict type stuff that we struggle with, which again, it's a huge part of everything, but it's a really big part of relationships that struggle with that interpersonal dialogue and wanting to avoid things that can actually lead you to a resolution. Because we're not thinking that way. We're not thinking, this will lead me to a resolution if I address a conflict, if I address something, right? So kind of the same thing for if you don't want to take a stance or take a side, and you're neutral all the time, it's in that same category. You're not seeing what's ahead if you just resolve something, or just say how you feel, or take a side on something. It's almost like our physical brain is doing that. It's limiting our options. And I think that's why we do it. That's why we might end up in a catch-22 or feeling completely hopeless, because we feel like we're in a catch-22, or we tend to be neutral. You know, and the other thing is, you know, open yourself up to 10 different ways that a conflict could come out. I would say that's a good idea, is to write down on a piece of paper, here's what you think is going to happen. Here's what could happen. You know, here's a more logical thing that could happen. This is where logic kicks in. Here's a more logical thing that would make sense that would happen if you were to share this or this with somebody, right? The other important thing is you don't have to explain yourself to anybody. You know, you are you. And if there are some things you don't want to share with people, that's up to you. You know, and then if there are things you want to share, that's good too. I would just say don't deprive yourself, though, of who you are. Don't deprive yourself of your identity, and don't be afraid to share your interests with people, your hobbies, because that's where that self-critical stuff comes in. And that's basically like wasting your own time. You're wasting your own time when you do that. And you don't want to do that. And your friends won't get to know who you really are if you don't just share your genuine interests. you know, that's where that whole thing of like the image comes in that I talked about. When somebody's insecure and they're very self-critical, then they start living life according to an image where they want to be accepted by people. And that's not even who they really are. That's an act. That is not who they are. So then they end up marrying somebody, and their spouse thinks they're this one person who they're really not. That's not who they are. And eventually that disingenuousness starts to show itself. And, you know, and maybe down the road, the spouse will start to want to finally engage with their real interests. And then the other spouse will be like, well, why didn't you ever show this to me before? Or the spouse might think, have you been lying to me? You know, it's almost like they'll look at you like you're another person, because you're another person because you've been acting. So it's very important to, you know, to just basically engage with things that genuinely are true to you. And again, don't be afraid to share them. You know, sharing who you are isn't going to hurt anybody. You know, it's, don't be afraid to do that. Cause you're really leaving out a big part of yourself for others to get to know. And you might be very surprised by people's reactions when you do share something. That's another key thing. Like let's say you have an interest and you think people will think you're a nerd or something, or they'll think that you're a freak or whatever it might be. So you're not sharing it. Or let's say you take a stance on something, and let's say you actually learn who your real friends are. How about that, right? I had something like that happen, where there was a very divisive thing that had happened, and I took a stance on something, and you learn who your real friends are in certain times like that. And that's a good thing. You want to know who your real friends are. So in my book, it can only lead to good things. So if you are tending to be kind of Switzerland or neutral on things, you sharing things about yourself is only going to lead to good things for you. That's what it's going to lead to. And again, you know, look at all the different avenues and don't let your mind, your brain, shut down those options and perspectives, because it's the same thing as the catch-22. So if you're being neutral and everything, that's very similar to a catch-22 situation. So remind yourself that your brain can sometimes limit your options out of fight or flight. Those are the only two options it gives you. And you don't have to get mad about something either when you finally do take a stance on something. Realize that it's going to lead you to a better place in your life. And use your more rational part of your brain and say, you can handle this. There are solutions, and this could have really great effects for your future. But that fear is really coming from that PTSD physical brain, where it's basically not showing you that you can solve it. It's just seeing run or fight back. That's all it's seeing. So they're very similar. And these are huge things, by the way, that affect us. These are huge in the world of particularly long-term trauma or PTSD from your youth, because that really affects your brain more when it's coming from when you're a kid, because your brain was developing with this problem. It was developing with this trauma. So, you know, sometimes I think it probably affects our brains more when it's coming from long-term or when it's coming from childhood. So we have to just kind of remind ourselves of this, because again, this isn't something our brains are normally doing, is solving problems well when it comes to things we're afraid of. You know, our brain doesn't normally do that. So this is something that we have to learn and change. So very important. So I just wanted to add that it's, you know, the Switzerland thing, the being neutral thing, is the same as the catch-22. They're in the same, totally the same boat. So when you feel stuck, you know, that's why you might be neutral on things. And again, in the long run, like, you don't owe anybody an explanation. You can have a view or a stance, and you don't owe anybody an explanation. Just say, this is what I believe in. This is what I like. And, you know, you don't owe anybody anything. Like, if I want to fly an American flag in my living room, because I don't have a yard and a flagpole, and somebody comes in and they're like, I don't like it when people have flags in their homes. That really bothers me. I'll be like, who cares? It's a flag. It's hanging on my wall. Like, big whoop. You know, like, if it's against their religion to have a flag or something. Or, you know, if you have a something else in your home, a cross, or you're of whatever religion, you know, whatever. And someone's like, well, I don't like that. And you're like, who cares? It's just something I have in my home. Like, you either like me or you don't, you know? But, you know, I just wanted to point out that those things are very similar. And they're a huge part of, like I said, the PTSD brain. And that's very important. And you don't want to beat yourself up if you feel like you are stuck. And just realize that there's a lot more avenues and perspectives on ways to look at things. There's just a lot more options than what I think our brains are telling us there are. It's only saying this or that, right? So this is the Complex PTSD guy signing off.